Penguin Random House Audio presents Whole Earth, The Many Lives of Stuart Brand by John Markoff. Read for you by Dennis Boutsakaris.
In memory of Douglas Engelbart, whose ideas, like many things, Stuart Brand discovered early on. Throw a brand in the river, and they will float upstream. Brand Family Wisdom. Prologue. A solitary figure huddled on a San Francisco rooftop gazing over the city skyline. On a wintry afternoon, sitting above his North Beach apartment, he felt as if he were vibrating. He had taken half a tab of LSD, then wrapped himself in a blanket and gone up, intent on spending the afternoon doing nothing in particular. Shaking from the chill and the chemical reaction, the man on the roof saw the world as if through a fisheye lens, and he realized that the tall buildings in the financial district weren't perfectly parallel. They diverged slightly. In his mind's eye, he rose above San Francisco, and the planet suddenly became as a glorious globe. Seeing Earth from space would transform the way we view our planet and ourselves, he realized. He spent the rest of the afternoon obsessing over how it would be possible to capture a photograph of the entire planet to bring home the point that all of humanity shared a single home. After a few hours, he headed downstairs, a question now in mind: why haven't we seen a photograph of the whole Earth yet? Today, Stuart Brand is largely known as the creator of the Whole Earth Catalog, a compendium of tools, books, and other intriguing ephemera that became a Bible for a generation of young Americans during the 1960s and 1970s. That, however, is only part of his legacy. Since then, in both small and large ways, he has reformed the way we look at the world. A quixotic intellectual troubadour, he has prosecuted a series of discrete visions united only by a potent sense of curiosity and a provocative optimism. Earlier, he played an instrumental role in the emergence of the 1960s American counterculture, which exploded upon the American scene in many ways and still resonates in the political and cultural battles taking place today. He was in the thick of the events that led to the modern environmental movement during the 1970s. At various times, he has dabbled in journalism, photography, activism, multimedia, social media, and business consulting. He has also been a provocateur. A member of Ken Kesey's band of merry pranksters, he helped light the spark that led to the Summer of Love and the San Francisco music scene. Among the first to catch wind of the significance of cyberspace and personal computing, in the 1980s he helped create an early online virtual community. Although he was largely an observer of the technical community that created Silicon Valley, his various ideas and crusades around the Whole Earth Catalog, which he created in the fall of 1968, foreshadow and resonate with the techno-utopian culture that the Valley spawned. He went on to rethink modern architecture from a biological perspective, and later publicly broke with the environmental movement over nuclear power and GMO food. Both as a young man and more recently, he first figuratively and then literally set out to play God, initially by making the claim that humans had the power of gods, and then, during the past decade, by creating an organization to save and restore endangered species with modern biotechnology. He has done it all from a single base, Northern California. The arc of his life helped to create a very particular California sensibility, a state of mind that has gone on to spread throughout the entire world. In February of 1966, a squandered afternoon in the company of a hallucinatory drug was not a completely unusual way to spend a day. Yet Brand was not a beatnik, nor would he become a hippie. He was far too ambitious to fit in comfortably with his peers. As often as not, he has found a way to go against the grain. He has floated upstream. When he wandered onto his rooftop, he was a lanky 28-year-old with already thinning blonde hair, an aquiline nose, and a long face often painted with a toothy grin. People who met him then described him as socially awkward, overly earnest, and cerebral. 6 years earlier, as a college senior, he'd discovered San Francisco's North Beach and immediately fallen in love with its libertine world of artists and beat poets. An aspiring photojournalist, He was living off a small family inheritance that allowed the freedom to dive deeply into San Francisco's bohemia. Years later, when the two met at the Santa Fe Institute, mathematician and economist W. Brian Arthur asked Brand what he did. His response was, "I find things and I found things." Many of the things that Brand has attempted in the past six decades would fail, but some have succeeded spectacularly. He has retained an uncanny ability to stumble into trends early and sometimes to create them. One of the most important roles he has played, first for the counterculture generation and more recently for millennials, is as a model for how to live one's life. Steve Jobs fastened onto the Brand approach in recounting his own life in his influential 2005 Stanford commencement address. He found inspiration in the closing page of Brand's Whole Earth epilogue. It captured the sensibility that emerged on the western edge of the continent during the 60s. The back cover of the 1974 edition of the publication was a photograph of the kind of open road a hitchhiker might find while waiting in the morning sun on a California highway. Adventure and unlimited possibilities await the traveler. At the top of the page is a photo of sunrise as seen from space, and in between are the words, "Stay hungry, stay foolish." Brand intended the photo as a way to describe living a life open to serendipity. As Jobs put it, "I have always wished that for myself." Telling the story of Stuart Brand's life poses a puzzle, for he isn't someone who can be neatly categorized. Perhaps it is so difficult to put him in a box because he has such an uncanny knack for seeing the world from outside the box. After playing a major role in the creation of the environmental movement, decades later he would push back on the anti-nuclear movement, defining himself as an eco-pragmatist. He did so because he was opposed not to environmentalism, only to environmentalists, whom he viewed as being anti-science ideologues. Today, he sees himself as a conservationist rather than a preservationist. Humans are very much a part of the natural world, he argues. They have co-evolved with it, and they are duty-bound to care for it. His thinking has not so much changed as evolved. While he is labeled as an early techno-optimist, during the past two decades, it has been the existential threat of climate change that has framed his thinking and actions. In editing the Whole Earth Catalog, he embraced and celebrated amateurs. Brand turned to the world of cybernetics to reject hierarchy in preference to the idea of a networked world in which the center of control constantly moves to wherever is most relevant and useful. It was a worldview that both resonated and broke with the New Left, for Brand rejected traditional politics and focused instead on what he called direct power, a focus on tools and skills for the individual, emerging from his early libertarian sympathies. A self-described member of an American silent generation, which came of age in the 1950s, Brand has acted more in the mold of the action intellectuals, identified by Theodore H. White in a 1967 Life article that described a Kennedy type of educated anti-communist intellectual who operated beyond the boundaries of the university. However, unlike White's characters, who were largely inside the beltway creatures of the Kennedy administration, Brand would become the consummate outsider, a coast away. He has reinvented himself frequently enough that it is tempting to describe him as a zealot, for decades turning up seemingly everywhere as new things were developing. Indeed, Brand's thinking has evolved in many ways, from anti to pro-nuclear, from environmentalism to conservationism, and from libertarianism to something closer to traditional liberalism. But the zealot reference is the wrong way to describe him, for there has been a consistent through line that has connected his various campaigns, crusades, and inquiries over more than six decades. In particular, Brand has been constant in his commitment to science, which he refers to as the only true news, in his commitment to bottom-up democracy, with a small d, and in his relentless curiosity. He has displayed an eerie knack for showing up first at the onset of some social movement or technological inflection point, and then moving on just when everyone else catches up. He has retained a remarkable aversion to orthodoxy, which has on occasion made him the target for criticism from the right, and sometimes from the left. Brand first made a cameo in the opening pages of Tom Wolfe's The Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test. Since then, almost 24
Sample complete. Ready to continue?